It's Friday, June 16th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. This podcast is also brought to you in part by Honda Fit. The all-new Honda Fit is small on the outside, yet roomy and versatile on the inside. Check it out at fit.honda.com. Hello, everyone. It's great to be back. Strap in. We got a great show for you. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. My name is Todd Cochran. And hey, how's everyone? It seems like it's been forever, and it's only been a week. But my wife and I had an absolutely wonderful time in Las Vegas, and I'm going to talk about that here in a few seconds. But first of all, hey, thanks for being part of the family, being part of the Ohana here. And for those of you that are checking out the show for the very first time, hey, thanks for doing so. And of course, make sure you check out the main website at geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there, including all of the archive podcasts via the podcast link. You can also subscribe to our newsletter that we send out twice a week after the show, and you'll find that within the second column of the website. Well, how's everyone? Are you ready for the weekend? I'm actually kind of ready for the weekend. It was a very, very productive and fun week in Vegas, and we left out of here late Saturday night and got into Vegas Sunday morning, I guess about 9. Picked up the rental car, drove over to the Hilton, got checked in, and we decided, well, should we sleep or should we stay up? And I think what we really should have done was have taken a little bit of a nap. But we stayed up all day, went around, seen some of the sights, seen some of the different casinos, and went shopping and shopping and shopping and shopping. But to make a long story short, I think we finished up and got to bed about midnight. The next morning, I woke up and pretty early, actually, because I had to be over at the center that I was speaking at and ready to go and presenting at 8 a.m. So, you know, my body was still really in sleep mode because it was 5 a.m. Honolulu time when I actually started speaking. But I had to get over there and get the gear set up from the training room. And then it went great. It really, really did. Now, the first day was, I did a keynote that was took about, I actually had an hour. I think it took about 50 minutes. I had a great, great group of people, asked some good questions, and then went right straight into a 2-hour training session on podcasting. And I think the first day of the training, you know, it's just like anything else. You put something together and you hope it's going to flow completely the way you want it to, and it just didn't quite flow the way I wanted it to. And I think I actually had a couple of people that left the session a little bit lost, so I went back to the hotel and made some revisions to the actual to the training series. And when we went back on Tuesday to do the second session, which was essentially a repeat of my initial training session, in the new sequence, it went much, much, much better. And that is the one that will actually has been videotaped and it's going to be released on DVD to the group. And I'm pretty happy with that. So those of you that are checking out the show that were the educators who were there in Vegas, hey, I want to welcome you to the show. And of course, I look forward to hearing all of your feedback and listening to your podcast when you put them up. It's going to be it's real exciting. Glad to see some of you getting ready to jump on board. Okay, what else is going on? Hey, I got just a whole bunch of stuff here. Hey, we're a couple weeks away from the start of the 2006 People's Choice Podcast Awards over at podcastawards.com. And if you are a podcaster, we're going to be putting up some graphics that you're going to be able to carry on your put on your website. And a link to podcastawards.com. And what we did last year and what we will do again this year is we'll probably do two or three segments of sites that drive the most traffic to podcastawards.com. You're going to get some free advertising on the website. So I'll get those graphics up in the next couple of days. We'll have a link to it at podcastawards.com. Download those graphics, put a drop them on your website, and this will not only get your listeners ready to nominate you, but it'll also help us drive some traffic over there, and maybe you'll get a shot at having a year's worth of free advertising at podcastawards.com. Okay, I want to congratulate our domain winner for this week, Joel. Hey, thanks, Joel. Thanks for your submission. He got he submitted me sugapod.com, sugapod.com, as one of the weirdest domains he's ever registered, and that'll be our winner for this week for our GoDaddy giveaway. Again, congratulations to Joel. So what I want to do is, for those of you that have been kind of holding back, now's the time to kick it up. Joel's going to get $100 worth of GoDaddy products and services, and you too can be in the running for $100 worth of GoDaddy products by submitting your weirdest domain that you have ever registered, or if one, maybe if you think something up, maybe register one and get in the running. So congratulations again. And you know what? We did not have a winner in the cash, so this is what we're going to do. I think what we had is, I think we had a bunch of people sign up for the mailing list because they said, oh, I can sign up for the mailing list and maybe I'll win. Well, some people, we have to listen to win. So obviously there's been two people that were on the mailing list that did not listen to win. So we're not going to give it to the people on the mailing list. Next Tuesday, we're going to have a promotion. I'm going to have a something kind of special for you to do. So you have to listen on Tuesday to get the essentially the instructions on what you're going to have to do to win the, yeah, it's going to go up to $300. Yeah, so now we're getting in some cash, so it'll go up to $300. And so listen on Tuesday and we'll announce how you can do that. So we'll kick it up a notch on Tuesday's show, and we give that money away. We're going to give it away, absolutely. So you snooze, you lose. I guess that's the way it works. Okay, this week, actually, I had not planned on doing a tech podcast roundtable, but make a long story short, we had an opportunity to put together a roundtable through a Pearl conference that's going on, and also a gentleman in one of the tech podcast members from Belgium is going to be having some great topics of discussion. So if you want to find out what we're going to be doing on the roundtable, visit techpodcast.com. It's this Saturday, Saturday the 17th. So 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern. All the details will be at techpodcast.com. And of course, we want you to be on, you know, participate. And we'll have a Skype cast up and the dial-in line will be all open. So I look forward to seeing you on Saturday for the live event. I do want to talk real quick about our experience in flying home. On Wednesday, yesterday, we had the, when we left Vegas, we left real early in the morning. I guess it was, we had to be at the airport at 5 a.m. By the way, if you go to Vegas and if you have to rent a car, don't rent from Alamo. It's almost impossible to find Alamo's rental lot. They're in some weird spot. Signs aren't good. And when you woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning to get ready to go, and you're trying to drive back to the airport and try to find the rental place, it should just be easy, but it was not easy. So don't rent from Alamo, rent from someone else. But I want to talk about a little incident that happened with me with United. Now, when I made my reservations, I did it through Orbitz, went online and basically said, okay, this is the day I want to leave, this is the day I want to come back, find me the best deal. They did, I booked it. And a few weeks later, my wife decided, yeah, I'm gonna go with you. So she went online and was actually able to find the same flight outbound, but a different flight coming back. And it was with the same airlines, with United. So we flew out together and we were sitting with each other, and it was terrific. And then the morning that we were coming back, I had already called United and said, hey, do you have seats on my flight coming back? Can my wife switch? And I go, well, sure, there's plenty of room on that specific flight that you're on. When you get to your check-in, just go to the check-in counter and have them change it. You'll have to pay $25, and no problem, she can switch. So I was like, great, we'll be able both to come home on the same flight. She won't get in 3 hours later. It'll work out perfect. Well, we got to the gate, and we got the most nasty, mean, I'm going to tell you what, I had the most, it was the worst customer service event that I have ever had with an airline. And I'm not really one to complain, but this lady, she made me mad. She really, really did. I was beyond frustrated. Essentially, I asked, told her, explained the situation, told her I'd already called United and talked to them. They said there's plenty of room on the other flight and would like her to switch the flight reservation for my wife. I'd be willing to pay. And she said no. And here's the reason why. It turned out that my connection in San Francisco was only 35 minutes. So when I landed in San Fran to get to the next flight departure was 35 minutes. Very easy because we're coming on TED. We'd just walk from one area to another, essentially maybe about a 10-minute walk maximum, and we would be at the gate where the flight to Honolulu was flying out of. Well, she said it was too short, and somehow she said, you somehow cooked this reservation up so that you'd have this connection. She said, this isn't supposed to be allowed. You must have manipulated the system. Now, that's what really made me mad, because it's an Orbitz reservation, and she's accused me of manipulating the reservation to have made it in the first place. And she said, I'm not going to change this reservation. No way, no how, impossible. And she called my wife, a young lady, you're going to Los Angeles versus San Francisco, and you're just going to have to deal with your flight. Oh, it was not good. There was a lot of people in line. You know, you normally go through the e-ticket thing. You don't even deal with the agent. You get your bag checked, boom, 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 you're done and out. But I had actually had to have stand in line for an hour to get this a tirade from this lady. So that just tore, I was mad. So I bit my tongue, didn't say anything. We went and dropped the bags off. My wife is like, she's steaming. We go through TSA security. That's all cool. I go to the gate where she's flying out of. I explain to the agent what went down. She's like, oh, yeah, I can switch this. 2 minutes. 2 minutes, she switched the flight for us after we'd gotten checked in. Now, why in the world, you know, here we are. It took her two. This lady went off on me for like 5 minutes at the main gate. And it took this other lady 2 minutes. Oh, yeah. I got her name. I got her employee number, everything. United. If there's a United employee working, this is how you lose customers. I've been a dedicated United passenger for years and years and years and years. I have lots of miles. And maybe I won't be flying United anymore. You know, they torqued me. I'm telling you what. They really, really did. But you know what? That's all behind us. It's time to move on. But let's save you some money. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99, plus world-class hosting and fast and easy website builders and much, much more. Plus, enter the code Todd, T-O-D-D, when you check out and save an additional 10% on your order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. All right, at the end of the show today, I want to talk a little bit about a specific listener comment that I got that for the first time ever, I was a little bit frustrated on a listener comment. I'll talk to y'all about it at the end of the show, but really want some feedback, and I was actually quite blown away, and it felt like it was a personal attack. And I'll talk a little bit about it at the end of the show. But let's get into this here. What do I have? Let me go through my little list here. All right, I've got all that taken care of. Talk about the roundtable on Saturday. Talk about that. Oh, I'll know on Tuesday the status on whether we're going to go, what date I'm going to tell you for Blueberry.com's launch. So stand by for that. We'll be sending emails on Tuesday as well for some meetings. So for those of you that are signed up for the Blueberry.com launch or pre-launch access to the website. All right, I've got a whole bunch of cool stuff today, and of course, right at the top of the list is Bill Gates announced today that he's stepping down in 2 years. He's going to be taking over, essentially becoming part-time at Microsoft and full-time at his foundation, managing the foundation his and his wife have. So this is huge news from the from the Microsoft front, and I guess there's going to be some major changes. Going to be a new sheriff in town at some point here, but he's not stepping down as chairman. He's going to continue to be chairman, but he's going to be working more as a part-time role. So we'll see what happens. Me, you know, it's good. I think this is time for it's good time for a change, and I'm sure a lot of people are looking forward to it and have some. There's been positive comments today. And of course, there's a. I have a link for you tonight in the show notes to an email that was actually sent out by Steve Ballmer to the employees at Microsoft, kind of explaining the process and what they have been doing and the plan that they've had in place for a while now for this transition. Of course, there was a whole bunch of other Microsoft style news. That took place while I was off in Vegas. So we'll talk a little bit more about that here in a few minutes. But first off, from Tech Dirt, the RIAA is saying no dancing to music on YouTube. Apparently, if you are have created a YouTube video and you've got music playing in the background and you're dancing to it, well, the RIAA is sending out cease and desist letters to those people that have those videos saying that if you haven't licensed it, you can't dance to it. Is it going to get any more crazy? What's your prediction? What's your prediction that the RIAA is going to do next? They're just going to ban us from listening to music at all. They're going to say it's illegal for you to listen to any music. Okay, over on some very, very disturbing news today, and it's actually the web, if you go to the web post that the CEO of PubSub put up, I think you're going to just be blown away. He aired, you know, talking about dirty laundry. He took the dirty laundry and threw it out in the middle of the street for everyone to see. But one of my favorite services, PubSub, is very, very close to becoming shuttered and going away. Now, if you haven't used PubSub before, you can what you can do is you can sign up for an account, and you can create search queries that they will use to, and it'll build an RSS feed for you of those search results. So I use them heavily. I really, really do. I have probably 100 different PubSub search queries that I look through every night before this show, along with Technorati, Rocket Boom and several other websites. Rocket Boom and several other sites. So, this is pretty sad what's going on. Apparently, they had some funding that was going to possibly come in, and through some skirmishes between one of the ex CEOs and some minor shareholders, it didn't happen. So, they're essentially out of money. And this guy just laid it. Laid it on the line. And I'll just read a sentence off with what he's saying here. So, I believe firmly that the cause of our difficulties is not the team we've built, nor is it the technology we've developed. Both are great, and I agree. And of course, what he says next is, what has prevented us from moving forward is a battle with a group of minority shareholders, some who have claimed to be led by our ex-CEO. Oh, yeah. I'll stop there. I'll let you guys read this. But a lot of comment in the blogosphere on this one. Much of it saying, why did you do that? Because you have now essentially just, you know, stuck a knife to your wrist, and no one's going to invest at this point. If you can't tell, I'm still fighting a cold. Believe it or not, when I was, when we left out of here Sunday evening, it was bad, really, really bad. And there was no amount of cough syrup, no amount of lozenges, nothing that would just cause me any relief. And I really was suffering Monday, actually, when I was giving my keynote, my training. It was, I was terrible. And the urge to cough was just consistent. So I'm finally through that point, but I'm still, the head cold's still going on. And it's like ping pong here. Today, my wife has got it. She's down, out. I feel, you know, it's terrible how this, it's cold symptoms are floating around. But I'm still basically from from the nose up, still plugged up. But hey, that's life. Anyway, so if you hear me a little nasal talk today, it's just because that's the way it is. I'm plugged up. Now, in what I consider the most profound statement of the day, a Microsoft vice president made the comment at the TechEd 2006 conference in Boston. He said that Microsoft Vista was the most secure operating system ever. Now, for a Microsoft vice president to say that, you know, that's pretty profound, if you ask me. And as many problems as Microsoft has had, and yet, what did they do? On 21 or 22 patches they sent out on Tuesday of this week for XP. How long has XP been on the street? And they're going to say that Vista is going to be the most secure operating system ever. You know, they're comparing themselves with Linux applications that are running secure and have run secured for a very, very long time, or Unix installs. And it, put that up against those of you that are running Apple, running OS X. I'm sorry. I'm a Microsoft fan. But I'm not buying this. But it goes into why he can make that claim. Now, only time is going to tell here. Now, if you imagine this particular article over at betanews.com has 177 comments to it. And many of them are reiterating some of the things I've said here already, in that are they kidding or are they joking or was that an April Fool's joke or what? But anyway, that's what they're saying. So I'll let you all read the article. While I was gone, Robin Good released his 56th issue of his weekly Shareword Picnic for independent publishers. And he has a great list of applications on here today. First one up is Pretty May. Pretty May is an add-on for Skype that allows you to record and replay any call in a very easy way. Rhea is a web-based photo search site. Skipping down a few is a application called ClickCaster. Going down a few more is MyChingo, which I'm familiar with this site, MyChingo.com. Matter of fact, I think the team that launched MyChingo, some of it was in response to my complaints of not being able to have audio commenting systems on websites. But still, you know, this is a great application for those of you that are podcasters or bloggers that want to get audio comments on your website. But I was still in need of something that I could run locally and not have to go through a third-party service. But MyChingo.com is a good product. MyStickies at MyStickies.com. TalkTrust.com. And a whole bunch of great sites that I think you should check out, of course. They're all on Robin Good's website at masternewsmedia.org. Link will be in the show notes. And, of course, the second biggest news this week came from Robert Scoble, in that he is leaving Microsoft to go to work for a podcasting company, Podtech. Congratulations to Robert, and, of course, a big score for John Furrier and his group over there. I guess Robert's wife is also going to go to work for Podtech as well. But if you remember correctly, they got some startup funding, I believe, earlier in the year, $5.5 million. But it looks like, you know, this is pretty major. We're going to have a good voice in the podcasting space, a good, you know, someone that's going to be out there talking about the different things going on in podcasting and video casting. And, of course, you know, Podtech, that's going to really help them a lot. Just goes to show you that this space continues to grow and to evolve, and I'm glad Robert's part of the whole field now to be able to be a voice of reason and commentary, of course. But he's got an amazing number of posts on his website over the last week, a lot of links to some of the commentary on this, and it's worth just going over to scobalizer.wordpress.com and probably reading the last week of comments. Now, something I was kind of surprised, he shows his site stats, and I'm looking at them within his website, and I'm actually pretty happy with Geek News Central's website stats as I'm looking at his specific site's stats as well. Of course, he had a pretty big a huge launch upon the announcement of his move from Microsoft, but it gives you an idea. If you want to see what an A-list blogger will do for actually traffic to his website, you'll want to check out his website as well. Okay, what else have I got going on in this list of stuff tonight? If you're into image search, you know, Google's image search is pretty good, but you may want to check out another site. It's at elzr.com/imagery. It's an alternative search that provides a lot of image information in a really nice format. And a forewarning on this, it only works in Firefox version 1.5 plus. Apparently, they tried it in a couple of applications like Opera and IE, and it did some weird things. So if you're into image search, you may want to check that out at elzr.com/imagery. Now, I'm sure that most of you that listen to this show also use Skype. But there's some rumors coming out of Denmark that the newest version of Skype is going to have a PayPal send money and request money icon in it, so that you'll be able to right-click on a listener's name or user's name and actually be able to send money directly through Skype. If you remember, eBay bought Skype for a huge sum of money earlier last year, or late last year, or maybe it was early this year. I can't remember when the exact announcement was. But, of course, eBay also owns PayPal, so this integration was, I guess, should have been expected a long time ago. But you'll be able to send money and request money now through the Skype interface with people that are in your list. Pretty cool, don't you think? All right, Apple has got a little bit of a PR problem on their hands right now. Apparently, there's some accusations going on that several of the Chinese iPod factories are essentially abusing their workers. Now, this has not been verified. There's been some reporting done on it already. But Apple has vowed that they're going to get to the bottom of it, and of course releasing some statements that say that they don't support any, you know, any abuses of any of their workers that work in any of these factories. But Apple is going to promise to investigate the iPod City claims and to make sure that you know, employees are being treated as they're supposed to be, and not being forced to work in sweatshops. Those of you that are running Windows XP probably woke up Wednesday morning and you had a rebooted computer. There was 21 patches that were released by Microsoft on Patch Tuesday. But what was amazing about this patch cycle was that less than 24 hours after the release, there was some exploits that were already being released, that were being showing up on the internet. And according to the SANS ISC, this is the Internet Storm Center, a group of volunteers that track malicious web activity, there are at least 5 publicly available exploits for flaws patched in June's Patch Tuesday, including one for the MS-06 TAC-027, which was the bulletin that covers a critical Microsoft Word code execution bug. So make sure you get your machines patched if you haven't already. Set them to auto update, because that way the application will, or actually Windows will call home every night, make sure that there are not any new updates. So hackers are getting quicker. All right, I think the most interesting article of the night is this one here, and the title of it is "The World as Best as I Remember It," and it's an MSDN blog by one of the coders of Windows Vista. And this gentleman goes into some conversation on why Windows Vista has slipped. And he's pretty open about this. And he actually had initially taken some of the posts down, not because it was the company asked him to, but because there was he considered it wasn't constructive, his comments. But it looks to me like he's very, very methodical in his analysis here, and very, very open about why it's taken so long for Windows Vista to get to the point where it's going to be able to be released. So if you want some insight and some very, very, it's a good read, I'll be very honest with you, and took this guy had to be a little bit brave to put this out and say what he says. So take a look at it and let me know what you think. And I definitely appreciate comments back to the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. All of you, of course, that listen to the show are geeks, and you love your little gadgets. And I found a new gadget on Engadget today that I think is pretty cool. Now, I don't know how practical it's going to be for how well it's going to work or not. But how many of you, I'm sure many of you fly, okay, and fly all over the place, fly on a regular, consistent basis. And if you're like me, you're back in the cattle car, you're back in coach. You don't, you know, you can't afford to fly first class and be pampered just because, you know, we're all working stiffs here, at least most of us that listen to the show. And, you know, as much as I love running my electronics on airplanes and getting work done, my batteries only last so long. And because I'm sitting in coach, you know, I've got one of those nice fancy electrical adapters that I could plug in if the seats had the plug-ins. But again, I'd have to be sitting up in the nice, expensive seats to get that, that privilege. But for those of us that have to sit in coach, there's a new device by InFlight USB that it's a power unit used, it uses the audio jack to give you juice. Now, you think of the audio jack. There's not much power that comes out of the audio jack. But what this device does is the device trickle charges for 3 to 5 minutes, and then it can power a connected USB device for a minute. So it switches on, switches off, switches on, switches off. So if you're running, let's say, your iPod, and it's on its only its own battery power for the 3 to 5 minutes that this device is trickle charging, and then this device takes over for a minute, that people are wondering how long they can extend their iPod play. Now, usually, if you're doing domestic flights, most of your iPods will last for those flights. But if you're flying international, your iPod's not going to make it. But this thing can be utilized for 700 different devices. And I don't know how practical it is. I don't know what the price is, but it's one of those devices that might be kind of cool to check out and play with if it's not too expensive on the next flight that you're sitting back in the cattle car. Now, how many of you are still speed deprived on your internet connection that you have? How many of you have ADSL lines that you are maxed out in the actual speed that you can get to the service that you're on right now? Have you considered getting a second ADSL line and bonding the two together? Does your internet service provider even allow you to bond circuits together or not? Well, there's a guy in the UK that talks about how he bonded 3 ADSL connections in order to get faster upload speeds. And that's my major problem right here right now is I have great download speed but terrible upload speed. And it takes 30 minutes to push my podcast out. But I would be more than willing to, you know, put something together here that would allow me to bond some circuits together. But I don't think it's possible in my current configuration because I have my system set up with a cable modem. I do have an EVDO card, but I don't run them together. Has anyone done anything like that? Have you guys had an ADSL connection in your house and also had a cable connection and somehow routed the traffic differently through the two different services? I don't think you can bond those because that doesn't make sense. You wouldn't be able to bond two dissimilar services. But if you guys are doing some creative stuff, I'd like to hear from you how you're getting more speed out of the interconnections or internet connections that you have. Through any type of bonding, and that's what I'm specifically looking for. But if you're looking to do it with ADSL, I have a great article that I'm going to link here in automatedhome.co.uk that talks about a guy that did just that with 3 ADSL lines. The BBC News is reporting that and this is kind of on the science front, that Arctic sea levels have been falling by a little over 2 millimeters a year. And it's a movement that set the region against the global trend of rising waters. So they're trying to figure out why in the world that the ocean is actually dropping a little bit versus going up as all the global warming people are contending to. So very, very good article by the BBC. Talks about some of the technology that they're using to actually measure the water levels. And I think it's pretty cool how they're doing this, to be honest with you. But check it out. Great article, and link will be in the show notes. Hey, if you're a WordPress user and you would like to have a little bit more control in your deployments, in some of your new designs and stuff that you're putting on, did you know that you can install WordPress locally under Windows XP? If you didn't know that, I'm going to put a link up to a website that shows you exactly how to do that. And I'm actually going to load this up because it's going to take some time to get the templates changed over the way I need them to be changed over. And it'd be nice to be able to run it locally on my machine here. How many of you have a Motorola Razr? I'm sure a lot of you do. A lot of geeks I see are carrying those. It's a very slim phone, very cool. Matter of fact, I know Annie McCaskey over at Slashdot.review has one. But there's some good mods for that phone. You can find information about modding that phone over at motomodders.net. But I'm going to link you to an article here that talks about some of the great tools that people are using to modify your Razr phone. So you can check that out. Link will be in the show notes. And I guess the last couple articles I'm going to talk about tonight. See how many do I have left? Yeah, I got two or three left here. Number one is about Flickr. If you are a Second Life user and you're taking a lot of pictures in Second Life and then putting them up on Flickr, be forewarned that your Flickr site could essentially be taken off the index, search index, because they have a policy of not wanting animated type stuff on Flickr. They want true images. So there's a good article about it in Wired, and my good friend Eric Rice is actually quoted in here. And a good alternative, as Eric says, is Snapzilla. And you can, of course, if you haven't checked out Snapzilla, you want to do that. That seems to be where a lot of people are going that are having this issue with Flickr and them taking their pictures off the index because they don't want animated type pictures being put up on the website. Speaking of Second Life, we've got a couple of properties over there now. Haven't done too much development yet in them. The Shoutcast stream, for some reason, went down while I was gone, but it's back up now. But yeah, when I get some extra time, I'll start doing some adding some material over there. So you want to check out our two properties that are near the Curie Castle. We'll have one over there for Tech Podcast, and of course, one for Raw Voice. If you are a Picasa user, the online Picasa web albums, and you have your album set to private, be very, very careful in what you put up there because it only takes a little bit of manipulation with your keyboard on any individual person's site to find their private albums, okay? So there's a article about this over on Google Blog Scoped, and it'll talk about the issue that they're, you know, essentially people's private stuff is being revealed on Picasa. Okay, there's a very good article on Fractals of Change. It's actually the name of the website, but it's at blog.tomevelison.com. I'll have the link in the show notes, of course. And he has a great, great reiteration of some of the stuff that's going on with the agenda of internet neutrality. And talking about what the phone companies are up against and what this fight is really boiling down to in this movement to control the flow of data on the public access line. So make sure you go over here, and if you're, you know, if you made a call to your rep here last week and said, hey, don't support that bill, which is ultimately actually passed, sadly. But this is a very, very good, this guy took some time, and I think he hit the nail on the head when it comes to some of the issues that these companies are facing and why they're digging in it the way they are, as well as some of the things that are forthcoming that we're going to have to really watch out for and fight for, to be honest, quite honest with you. Okay, the last article of the night is Jason Calacanis apparently convinced AOL to make a change to Netscape.com. Actually, if you go to beta.netscape.com, they have what looks to be some competition for Dig. Now, at first glance, I'm looking at the site, and their layout doesn't look too bad. They've got a tag farm. They've got some kind of like some MySpace type stuff with the top contributors on the right. They've got different channels, and they've got a very cool little kind of a floating device at the very top of the site. I don't know what they're using Ajax or what they're using here, but it actually shows four or five of the different top articles that are up right now. You can vote the same way you do on Dig. The Dig folks, of course, are slamming them because it's a Dig copy, but there are some little bit of differences there. And this may actually revitalize the Netscape.com website a little bit. You know, Netscape, actually, this website still gets a lot of traffic. If you look at the Alexa rank, it gets a lot more traffic on a daily basis than Dig does. So they've got a little bit of a advantage here. But people are starting to put up content, and they are people are digging stuff in there. So it looks like Dig has got a little bit of competition. All right, let's make sure we take care of last little business here. This podcast has been brought to you in part by Honda Fit, the all-new Honda Fit. It's small on the outside, yet roomy and versatile on the inside. A VTEC engine, anti-locking brake system, and front, side, and side curtain airbags are standard. And for added style, there's the Fit Sport Automatic with rear roofline spoiler and wheel-mounted paddle shifters. The Fit Honda Fit is set and ready to go. Check it out at fit.honda.com. And thanks for Honda for being a sponsor here at the Geek News Central podcast. Okay, at the beginning of the show, I had said that I was going to go into a listener comment that I got, and I got to thinking about this as the show was going on, and I think that maybe I shouldn't go into it too much. But all I want to say, I guess, is I got a listener comment. Actually, it was a series of emails that went back and forth from a listener that was pretty disparaging, and I guess the ultimate thing is for Jacqueline, and if you're listening tonight to the show or listening to it today. The show is what it is, okay? I'm a dad. I work. I have a regular full-time job. It's very, very common for me to sit down and start recording the show late at night. Right now, it's 10:58 p.m. Hawaiian Standard Time. I've been up since 5 a.m. And I think for being up and doing a full day's worth of work and at 11 o'clock at night just finishing a show up, I think for doing it this late, show turns out pretty good. Now, sure, there are nights that aren't terrific. Of course, last week it may have been a little off more than normal because I had getting a cold and lack of sleep, the whole nine yards. But Jacqueline, if you don't like a show, don't just unsubscribe, okay? And sure, I'll take comments, but just don't go on an attack just because. You think that because of my website has a specific name, it has to meet a specific standard. And just for your information, geeknewscentral.com, the website, has been around a lot longer than the podcast has. The podcast was because I started the podcast because the website traffic was such that I thought it would be a good addition to the content that I create on that website or create on the site. So. Sure, we get a number of listeners that come to this site to listen to a technical podcast, but most of the people that listen to the show have been with us for a very, very long time, and we add an enormous number of listeners every month to the show, and according to my statistics, they stay with us. Now, not everyone stays, of course, because guess what? Different content appeals to different people, all right? And get your show started. Send me a promo. We'll play it. When you get 180 shows in, let me know how you're doing, how your numbers are growing, and we'll go from there. But for the rest of you, you know, essentially what happened was I kind of had an email that came in that rubbed me a little bit the wrong way, and I wanted to comment on it. Not going to go any further than that. Anyway, long story short, comments are always welcome, but please, you know, be constructive and no personal attacks. And I actually felt quite attacked on that specific email chain. Okay, let's go into, I got a great audio comment in, and I'm going to play that for you. And then we're going to go into some very positive listener email. And I'm going to get you guys out of here, I think, in record time tonight. So let me kick off this audio comment.
Hey, Todd, it's Tom calling from Chicago. I hope you had a great time in Las Vegas. Hey, that old show is really neat. Unbelievable. Anyway, yeah, I was just calling in regards to the AOL segment you had on last Friday. You know, you're totally right. There is no AOL has fouled up their entire permission. I call it permission-based marketing. That is not my term, but it's one that has been coined by, I can't think of the gentleman's name, but they were the first company to abuse the trust that they had instilled in their and their customer base simply by their pop-up ad program and just ramming it down your throat. So, yeah, I am not a big AOL fan. Never have been. On that same, I want to tell you about this. On that same note, if you go to, you know, the weatherchannel.com website, go on there. They are trying to sell a subscription service in which you don't have to see advertisements. How crazy is that? I mean, I sent them an email. I won't even use, you know, weather.com anymore. I go to, you know, NOAA.org or whatever they are, gov or whatever it is, because I the idea of paying not to see advertisements is just, to me, ridiculous. And you hit the nail on the head, my friend. I don't know, you know, AOL, I can't see them surviving much longer. I mean, they will survive for a lot longer, but the marketing decisions they have made have just totally, you know, really not helped out their customers. So it's insane. I'd have a problem with that. Anyway, keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Hey, I got a good email from Neil. He says, "Hi, Todd. This subject was a hard one to think up as I didn't want you to skip over it thinking it was just one of those emails. Anyway, here's why I sent you this email. On a lot of forums, there is always people asking about reinstalling Windows XP on their store-bought PC and what happens with activation. As people are aware, these computers should come with a COA sticker that has a CD key for Windows. Each of these is unique, hopefully. Now we know that some PC manufacturers do not include a handy reinstall CD/DVD with their computer, and you have to spend extra to obtain one. Now, if they happen to obtain a CD from a friend, they may quickly realize one of two things. One, that it won't accept a legit CD key that they have, which is true. Two, that it won't automatically activate over the net and they have to phone in for activation. Number one is a well-documented situation that only requires the changing of the PID and the setup.ini file on the CD. There are three types of Windows licenses: volume license, OEM, and retail. The PID product ID dictates what type of license key Windows install will accept. Number two is what the white paper is all about in a nutshell. In order to reduce a significant source of piracy, Microsoft disabled the online activation for COA keys that are attached to PCs that have been pre-activated by OEMs. This change should have a minimal impact on licensed users and generally do not use their COA key to activate their software because it has been pre-activated by the OEM. However, if a licensed end user needs to activate because of the OEM pre-activation does not work as expected, aka after the replacement of a defective motherboard, etc., they can do so via phone-based activation. He provides me a link to that TechNet article. So he says, so there you have it. Just because Windows won't authorize over the net doesn't mean that Microsoft thinks you're a pirate. They're actually protecting you. When you phone, they will ask you what make of PC it is. If you answer the machine, that's from their list, so you get an activation code. Hey, hope you and your wife enjoyed Vegas. We did. Thank you very much. And he says, you mentioned about your little one bringing home the plague from his first school. My little one started nursery school a month ago. He's nearly 8 months old now. After the second week, he came down with a cold. It was quite minor. Me and my wife came down with it a week later, and we're battling to get rid of it. It's one of the worst colds I've ever had. Keep up the good show. Neil. Thanks, Neil. Yeah, you know what? That crud, man, it travels. It really, really does. And it's ping-ponging here through the house. I got an email from Rick. He says, I've been a listener for a while and love the show. I typically don't have issues with things you say, but I have to take issue with your comments about Google Spreadsheets. I work for a company that has a lot of confidential data, as we see the applications having a major risk of allowing users to easily and possibly unwittingly share company data to people outside the company. Since the app data is stored on Google servers, and those servers are located in countries that have tight restrictions on security on those services, as well as countries that have very loose restrictions, that means all you need to do is potentially expose your company's data to people who shouldn't have access to it is simply to click save on a Google spreadsheet. Furthermore, if you don't set your access list properly on your documents, you can also open up viewing it improperly. We're going to work to prevent the use of this app within our company. It's just not worth the risk. Rick, I understand, and don't get me wrong. I fully understand that, and you and I agree wholeheartedly on this, okay? If you've got data that is, you know, sensitive, obviously you're definitely, you want to be careful with where it's put. And also it depends on what Google has set in their privacy policy and how they're going to share it, if they're going to index it, what they're going to do with it. Definitely is an issue. So sorry if you read me wrong there a little bit, but I understand the concern. That is for sure. Okay, got an email from, we'll have to skip that one. Hey, I got an email from Nick, and I don't know, maybe I'm just getting old and forgetting here. He says, hey, just downloaded your most recent podcast for the first time. You mentioned with utmost interest, like you knew what you're talking about, that Dallas plays Detroit every Thanksgiving. The truth is, the Dallas Cowboys have never played the Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving Day. There are two games on Thanksgiving. Dallas plays at home in one, and Detroit plays at the other, at home in the other. They never played each other. You know what, Nick? This is like 1970s, my friend. I'm going to have to go back, and I'm going to have to pull some history, but I'm almost positive. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was just two separate games, and I just remember definitely Detroit and Dallas playing, but... that tells you how far back it goes when my cousin was getting beat up because of the Dallas game. But if they weren't playing, then, you know, my bust. That's just, you know, that's what happens when you get old. And I'm definitely not a big sports aficionado. That's not my key here, or that's not my gig. Okay, got an email from Jason. He says, hi, my name is Jason, and I'm an 8th grade history teacher in out in New Jersey. Over the past few months, I've been experimenting with a class blog, typing, and audio posts, and now I'm ready to begin actual podcasting. He said, I took a workshop on podcasting and been using your book. I have Audacity, and my blog site is at blogspot.com. I downloaded FeedBurner. Actually, you're using FeedBurner for Blogspot. And even set up an account with Prodigy. I have one issue holding me up. How do I actually post my podcast on my Blogspot? Any help would be greatly appreciated. Jay, because Blogspot doesn't allow you to do storage online, you're going to have to get a third-party audio hosting service. I use Libsyn. There are several out there that are good. But Libsyn.com is a place where you can drop your audio. I don't host any of my own audio. I do through third parties. And you probably have to do the same. Prodigy is only used for BitTorrent. So if you want to have a BitTorrent feed along with your regular RSS feed, you probably don't need the Prodigy account right away. Just go ahead and sign up for a Libsyn account, drop your audio file over there, and then and then link to it through Blogspot. Now, make sure Blogspot is enclosure capable. I don't know if they are. I'm sure they are, but make sure they have the enclosure tag in the RSS feed before you announce it, okay? Okay. What else have I got? I just got a whole bunch of stuff here. Hey, thanks for all the people. Apollo for volunteering to do some translating to Portuguese. I had someone that said that they would do Spanish. So those are starting to come in. I do want to thank those people. Got an email from Randall saying, hey, did you see this? Talks about may get podcasting in Windows Media Player 11 yet. I got an email from Michelle Holtz on click.tv. I'll put the link up in the show notes to that as well. Got an email from James. He said, there's no law against manufacturer using a radio that is capable of listening on cordless phones. So when you buy one, look for spread spectrum, a technology that makes a radio signal look like noise. Also get either 900 megahertz or 5800 megahertz, since 2400 will interfere with your wireless internet and can be interfered with by microwave ovens. I understand that, Jim, but I don't know. Here, there's no law against manufacturing using a radio that is capable of listening in on cordless phones. Okay. All right. And what else have I got here? Hey, someone said down in Australia said that they actually saw slow download speeds on 179. If anyone see that, let me know. Hey, a bunch of people sent me links and said, hey, I got some stuff up on podcast promos. Also, what else? Oh, man, I got so much mail on AOL. Thanks, Ronnie, for that. Also for John, thanks for your info. What else do I have here? Who else sent me email tonight? Carl did. Who else? Phil did. Oh, Phil, hey, the thing that Phil sent me, and Phil's out of the UK, got to tell you about this, is a website that's called The Magic Planet. You got to check this out, all right? I'll have this link up in the show notes. when you see this video, if you've got kids that are not interested in geography, this is the thing. This is the site that you're going to want to go to and have them check out. That'll be it for tonight, folks. And what I'm going to do is let me load up the browser here, and I'll go over to podcast promos. You know, we're already at 55 minutes. Of course, I wasn't going to get you out of here early. And Tuesday, we're going to kick it up a notch, all right? And we're going to give someone a chance. It's going to be anyone that's listening to this show is going to have a chance at winning $300, okay? And let me see. I got Carl's link here to his. Let me go ahead and fire this up, see if this will play right now. Is this going to go?
From Honolulu, I'm Dr. Carl Weisbrod, and this is podcast WDS.com. Well, actually, it's a short sample presented to podcast promos. It's June 2006, and it's a beautiful day in Hawaii. I started podcasting a year ago last April. My first show was titled simply Podcast WDS.com. Here are some of the topics I cover in 10 individual podcasts. I talk about Hawaii, of course, but are you interested in charisma, hypnotism, and other esoteric topics? I talk about all that stuff. I talk about health issues, the broken heart, and other things drawing from my former life as a shrink. I'm sometimes asked how it's possible to do that many podcasts. The answer is, it takes an absolute disregard for quality. Wow, 2 minutes goes by really fast. If you would like to sample one or two of my podcasts, simply type WDS, that's Whiskey Delta Sierra, add the word library, L-I-B-R-A-R-Y, that's WDSlibrary.com. And by clicking the podcast index link, you can subscribe individually, or if you're a glutton for punishment, you can subscribe to them all at once. Either way, I'll be grateful. This is Dr. Carl Weisbrod at podcast WDS.com signing off. My thanks to Trucker Tom and Todd Cochran for providing this opportunity.
Well, thanks, Carl. We appreciate that. And hey, tell you what, Carl's a great guy. And if you didn't know it, Carl is probably one of the older podcasters out there. But he does a great show, very, very thorough. So check his show out, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it. I got to one more here. I'm a little cautious if this is going to be kids safe, so we'll see what happens here.
Smart guests, eclectic topics, really anything is fair game. Join us weekly for an hour on Friday Night Party Line. Search Friday Night Party Line on iTunes or Google, or download.
Hey, Thad, make sure your sample rate is at 22050 or 44100 for flash bass and players. Otherwise, it's just, it whacks the audio. You heard your voice, so 22050 or 44100 for sample rate. That should be for anything you ever put on the internet, because if you don't, anytime your audio is played in a flash player, that's exactly what it's going to sound like. Resubmit it and I'll play it again. All right. Play those off podcastpromos.com. Get your promos up on the website. Of course, make sure send your comments to the show at geeknews@gmail.com. Send your voicemail comments to the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365 or Skype me at Geek News Central. Until next Tuesday, everyone have a terrific weekend. Aloha.